Tennessee Day, so it wouldn't be SEC Media Days if we didn't get Austin Price, VolQuest. What's up, brother?
How we doing, guys?
Doing good, man. Every year we feel like we're just piecing this thing together. But I think we're starting to finally feel like we fit in a little bit.
Well, you guys do. I mean, it gets bigger and better every year for you guys. I mean, you know, and then with me on, it's like we've got like the IMAC covered, right? I mean, Morristown West, Morristown East, Jeff County.
Yeah.
I think that's right, right?
That's right.
Yeah, here we go.
You've been up there? You've been up there lately?
Lately, you know what? I played in the Morristown East basketball golf scramble at the country club a few weeks ago before I went on vacation. So that's the last time I was up there, and you know, any excuse to go up there and get pals is a good one. You know what I mean?
Where did you go on vacation? Did you go back to Disney?
No. You know, we went to Europe. We did. We went into Barcelona, did a Mediterranean cruise, ended in Rome, and a lot of fun. First time going across the pond. So
can't hide money. I tell you what.
So what? Any takeaways for you for Tennessee Day?
No, I thought Josh Heupel, he takes great pride in saying a lot without saying anything. I thought you could kind of get that. There's no question who the unquestioned leader is on the offensive side of the ball with Myles Kitzelman. I think he probably was going to be that anyway, even if they hadn't had the quarterback change. But through all that, I think really established himself as the guy, the alpha in the room, so to speak, that all of the guys on offense look to, whether it be offensive line, receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, whatever. I think he's done a good job of kind of blending the quarterbacks, understanding there's a competition now and coming even more, but being kind of that middle point for all those guys to lean on, whether it be Joey Aguilar coming in from UCLA or you know obviously Jake Merklinger's feeling like he's quarterback one. I think the day that Nico left, everybody just kept putting QB1, QB1, QB1. And I think Merklinger just kind of just grabbed onto that. It's like, why not? Why not just put myself in that role? I want to be that anyway. And so that's why it's going to be an interesting competition as we head into the month of August because, yeah, I mean, they've had competitions even that first year, so to speak. But this is the first one I really feel like since probably like 04 where, like, you don't have an inkling of which way it's going to go. Everybody's assuming Aguilar because they brought him in, but they needed a body. This is an open competition, and if – Jake Merklinger goes out and wins the job, he wins the job. They're not just going to play Joey Aguilar because he transferred in. Aguilar's got to prove he can run the offense and run it, I won't say mistake-free because that's not possible, but mistake-less.
Well, I mean, if you were putting money on it right now, which one would you be leaning, you think?
I would take Joey Aguilar just based off his experience, Shane. I mean, you've got multiple years in the system. And here's the thing people don't talk about. Joey Aguilar is 24. He took 2 years off before he went JUCO. He's older. That matters. I mean, you look at Hendon, and I'm not saying he's going to be Hendon. That's not what I'm saying.
Let me.
But how much did it help Hendon when he was 24 years old at the end? I mean, you know, you just get better with age, and you get better with more experience. So he's got the experience. He's got the age. What he doesn't have is the experience in the offense. That's what Merklinger at least has a little bit because he's been in the meeting room. He's ran practices. He's been here for a year and a half. Does that matter? We're about to find out.
Well, we had Cole over here the other day, and one of the things that he's worried about is that offensive line.
I'm not. I'm bullish on that. I think that offensive line is going to be good. Cole and I got to have a talk. I really think they're going to be really good. I love them at tackle. I think David Sanders has got all the upside in the world. Now, he's going to make mistakes. He's a freshman. But I think Lance Hurd's going to be a lot better in year two. You talk to Lance. He's saying a lot of the right things. Talk to me specifically about playing last year. First time he's ever had to deal with an injury. And he heard it from people like me who, you know everybody kept saying, he probably could tough it out. He got back, then he re-injured the ankle, lesser, like a lower ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain. But he didn't feel like he could miss. He pushed through. He lost his grandfather at this time a year ago. He's down about 30 pounds. He's down to about 320. Does all that matter? I think we're about to find out on him as well. Again, there's a lot of unknowns, and it's kind of been my battle cry all offseason. There's a lot of unknowns. But one battle cry for me personally is I think this offensive line is going to be really good. I think they're going to be really talented at the tackles. I think they're going to be improved at the guards because I think Wendell Moy is that kind of dude. The question is who's their center? Is it William Satterwhite? Is it, you know, Sam Pendleton? Is it a guy like Jesse Perry who swings around as a more talented version of Dane Davis who's bigger and can play different spots? I don't know. I think the center spot is where it starts. They got to figure out who that's going to be. I still think, though, they are a more talented group than a year ago, just not as experienced.
I don't think there's probably a team that is going to get asked more this entire event about a player that's not even on their roster than Tennessee players and Josh Heupel, obviously, about Nico.
Sure.
And do you think that fuels them for, I mean, they're already kind of being underwritten, like Tennessee, that's the team that's going to fall back. There's no way they make the playoff again. What about this star quarterback you had? How do you even stand a chance? Can you even field a football team without Nico? I mean, I feel like that goes.
I think that works to their favor.
Exactly.
I think they pair. Okay, we just talked about, who did I say that was their leader on offense?
Miles Kitzman.
This team parallels his arrival a year ago when everybody said, oh, he's just a body. They got Holden Stays. They got Ethan Davis. Yeah, this guy's a body. And what'd he do? Went out in spring, put his head down, went to work. All of a sudden, Miles Kitzman's pretty good. Boom. Has a really good year. This team kind of is the same. Like, everybody's like, they don't have Nico. They lost Dylan Sampson, the receivers. They lost everybody on the defensive line. Not really. They are not as deep as they were a year ago, but they were ridiculously deep a year ago, right? Like, just dumb that they would throw that many bodies out there. They still have quite a few bodies that they're going to throw at them this year as well. I think they're better at linebacker. If McCoy can get back, and I think he'll be back, but the question is how effective will he be? That's where I think it gets interesting, because I think ultimately the secondary can be better, because I love Colton Hood bringing him over. All of a sudden, you've got some different pieces there. I love their younger safeties. As good as Will Brooks was a year ago, and he was much better than the fans want to give him credit for. I think they can be better. Again, the one philosophy change that Tennessee made this past offseason was the fact that instead of going big into the transfer portal, they said, you know, we went big with NIL for a bunch of these younger players that we really like. So why, if we like them and we would pay them X amount of money, would we go and try to cover them up by going to the portal for someone who may or may not beat them out? Let's push them to the field. So they went to the spots that they actually had to have somebody. Elsewhere, they're pushing guys to the field. Idris Farouk pushed to the field. Evan Spillman pushed to the field. Mike Matthews, Braylon Staley pushed to the field. Offensive line, same thing. I think that really is going to be the tell sign for this program this year. What do those young guys do? And again, you're not going to know until you get out there and you start playing. There's so much unknown about this football team. They should be picked middle of the road in the SEC, because you don't know. No one knows. But don't be surprised if you get to end of September, 1st of October, and everybody's like, man, Tennessee's pretty good. They're better than we thought they were going to be. And it's all because you just had a bunch of unknowns, and those guys proved themselves. They could easily be like, uh-oh, that's not good. Again, quarterback play, young receivers. They got 7 bodies at wide receiver. 7. I mean, think about that. We got 3 people sitting at this table. They barely got double that in the receiver room. And it's true, though. I mean, like, and 4 of them have never played a college game. Amari Jefferson was hurt last year, didn't play at Alabama, and was still banged up in the spring. And then 3 true freshmen. That matters, I think. But again, talent, you got to hope that it overrides all that.
Who breaks out among those very few receivers?
I think it's Braylon Staley and Mike Matthews. I do think Chris Brazel is the guy that's got to take a step in year 2. To me, it's got to be your 3 starters. And then anything you get from the freshman is a bonus.
What about Boo?
I think Boo will factor, but how much does he really play on offense? Like, I mean, when he went through spring, did he go, man, that's a lot. I just want to be a kind of a gadget guy, have a package, you know, because, I mean, it is a lot. I mean, hey, Boo, go and learn every play on the offense. Hey, Boo, go and run everything on the defense and return punts. That's a lot. I don't care how smart you are. That's a lot. So, which makes all the Travis Smith stuff that much more impressive, right?
Yeah.
Or Travis Hunter. And so, for my liking, I think he's going to be someone who helps this team offensively, but is in a sprinkle him in type mode more so than he's going to play 40 snaps a game.
No, I always get in trouble for being too optimistic about Tennessee. So you're just fueling the damn fire today. I'm just telling you.
I mean,
we're going back, baby.
The schedule sets up for them, okay? But at the end of the day, this program will be judged by the big 3. You've got to do something you either not done under Josh Heupel, which is beat Georgia, or do something you've not done since I was in college. That's 2003 when Tennessee won at Florida and Alabama. The rubber's going to meet the road there. Otherwise, you're looking at 9-3 at best, not going to the playoff more than likely at 9-3. And, you know, after that, who knows if they have any kind of hiccups to get home against Oklahoma, or do they have that Arkansas or South Carolina type game on the road at Kentucky? I don't think that'll happen just because Kentucky's not that good. And Mississippi State is obviously not that good either, as they try to build up with Jeff Lebby. So, again, I think you've got to do something that you've not done in a while. Capable? Is it doable? Absolutely. But to quote the great Brent Hubbs, you almost got to see it to believe it with some of these things. I think I've said for a while, I think as crazy as it sounds, I think Tennessee's got a better shot of going to Tuscaloosa and winning than Gainesville. I just place that place is just a house of horrors for the Vols. You know, if you're a fan, you go down there and you're like, I don't have a chance to win. We've not won down there in so long. And Tennessee either gets, you know, they can get boat raced. But how many times have they lost in, like, the worst agonizing fashion of all time? You know, I mean, like Hail Marys and 4th and 17s.
Yeah. We remember them vividly well. Yeah. But can you believe this man right here? He was considering, I don't know if he's really going to do it, but he said
he's going to walk to Gainesville?
No, even better, a half marathon if Florida beats Tennessee in the swamp. And I think he's got a death wish.
As tough as that game is for Tennessee, I do think it helps it's later. Okay. Where's Florida at mentally? Florida's the surprise of the SEC. Maybe they're awesome, right? And then it gets really tough for Tennessee, or the vice versa.
I think the wheels fall off by the time we get.
Maybe. I don't know. I think a lot of it depends on Lagway, man. I think the quarterback position controls it all. It'll control for Tennessee. It'll certainly control it for Florida. And, you know, again, you go back to 2016 when Tennessee beat Florida and Georgia.
Yeah.
And didn't go to Atlanta, which is, you know, a rarity.
Twice we've talked about that today. We just had Texas A&M over here.
And so, but you go back to that and look at the murderer's row Tennessee played in that year. They played Florida, then they played Georgia, then they played A&M, then they played Alabama, and then they had South Carolina, which is another hiccup for Butch and them that year. But it was just kind of boom, boom, boom. This year, you don't really have that. Like, you have Georgia in September, Alabama in October, and Florida in November. Now, November's a little tougher because you do have Oklahoma. What are they going to be? You know, I mean, they've got the offensive coordinator change. They've got the quarterback change. A lot of optimism in Norman. They still have a really tough schedule because the SEC did them no favors when they came into the league, unlike Texas, which they gave the easiest path on the planet.
How surprised were you about that Arkansas? Because I just talked to an Arkansas guy, and he revels in the fact that they beat the Vols. Was your mind blown after that game?
No. It felt a lot like, you know, I won't say it's the same because Tennessee gave up a million yards and a million points to South Carolina in 22, but it just felt kind of like that. Like, they just, I mean, when Tennessee took the lead in the second half, you thought, okay, this is not pretty, but Tennessee's kind of, you know. And then it was like they took the foot off the pedal at that point, you know, on both sides. And then you had the little athletic quarterback looking like Matt Mock in the 0-1 SEC championship game running around. And you had Braylon Russell, who's just a big bowling ball, just rolling you down the field. And, I mean, obviously not ideal. It wasn't ideal for Nico the way that game ended, running out of bounds. You got to throw the ball. That's a redshirt freshman mistake. That's also been a tough place to play for Tennessee over the years, is Fayetteville. You know, and it's not that loud of a place to play. It just hasn't worked out. And so, again, I think the schedule. I don't worry about Arkansas at Neyland as much as I do if it's a road game. But yeah, I mean, I think for Tennessee they've got a schedule that's favorable. I like a lot of this team, but there's so many unknowns, and you just don't know. I mean, the receivers may not be very good. Quarterback may not play very well. I'm bullish on the offensive line. I think they'll be fine at tailback. I mean, Hype's got 3 2,000-yard rushers since he's been here. I mean, I don't really worry about that. I hand it off to us in the scheme. We run it.
More of a committee this year?
I think so. Darrell Sims has talked about how he's done it different ways. A year ago, he kind of just had a bell cow and went from there. He says he's done it 3 and even as many as 4 backs before. So we'll see. I think a lot of it depends on what Star Thomas brings, but I think it's a 1-2 punch right now with Peyton Lewis and Deshaun Bishop. Bishop just kind of has that – there's an it factor to the former walk-on from Carnes. I mean, the kid just has a mentality – it's super impressive, and I've known him since high school, and nobody has a bigger chip on their shoulder than that guy. I mean, he set state rushing records, Mr. Football two times, and you would have thought, even in high school, he was the most doubted kid on the planet. So, like, it's almost, you know, like Michael Jordan would, like, make it up in his mind. I'm not comparing him to Michael Jordan. I'm going to preface that, too. But you know how he'd, like, he would like, fabricate, like motivation. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, he blinked at me wrong. Ah, you know. Deshaun Bishop finds a way to get motivated by whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 100%. They played the song I didn't like. All right, I'm going to run for an extra 2 yards here, whatever. So I like the running backs. To me, it's the receivers and it's the quarterback position. That'll tell Tennessee's season on offense. Defensively, they're not as deep on the defensive line. They still have good players. I like their top three linebackers. I think I like them a lot. And then, you know, how quickly does McCoy get back? I think Colton Hood gives you a little bit of a buffer there with Jermaud McCoy, which is nice because you didn't have that at the start of spring.
What would be your level of surprise, though, if by the end of the year we're saying Tennessee, maybe they do have the best defensive line in the conference again? What would be your level of surprise?
Best defensive line in the conference, that would probably surprise me a little bit. But I do think they're still going to be very formidable. Does that make sense? I mean, there's a drop-off. But what's the drop-off? I mean, is it on a scale of 1 to 10, is it from 9 to 8 or is it 9 to 5? You know. Let me sing Dolly Parton right here for you. That to me is the biggest question. I don't think there'll be that big of a drop off, right? Like, I think it might be a small step back just overall because the depth's not there. What's Josh Josephs look like? What's Jordan Ross give you? Is Jordan Ross James Pierce as a sophomore? What's Caleb Herring like? Caleb Herring's had like the weirdest injuries on the earth, right? It's not like shoulder, knee. It's always like pinky toe and like things that like. Just are very odd. Like, can he get past some of that as he starts to get more and more playing time? Again, you go back to those younger players, and I asked Josh Heupel about in the local media availability, they like them a lot, and they're going to get every opportunity to go out there and prove themselves.
Tennessee's not getting removed from the SEC, are they?
No. Not that I know of.
I just wanted to squash that rumor.
Not that I know of.
Oh, buddy. All right. Any last question you got, Frost?
No, I just would like to clip Bishop here. There's no way you lead the league in rushing. So give him a little fuel this season. But, no, I'm excited. I obviously, the Syracuse game, you know, we all do this. We all reminisce of 1998. And, you know, it had the big year.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah, I mean, just saying.
I don't know about all that. I will say this. Remember the team in 22 that's beloved, right? Who saw the team that barely against the third string quarterback at Pittsburgh winning in overtime, beating Florida, Alabama, and all those games, and LSU a couple weeks later in Baton Rouge? Who saw that team winning those games after that Pittsburgh game? I don't like to caution fans because it's not my job. Just but at the same time, remember – they're not going to be all-world right out of the gate. The most important thing is win the first game, move on to the next. Get better leading into Georgia. That's the game that matters. Find a way to win at Syracuse if it's 40 to nothing or 2 to nothing, whatever, and then just continue to get better, get healthy, and be at, I won't say peak, but be at your best in that particular week when you play Georgia at home. Again, a team that Josh Heupel is yet to beat, although – while he's yet to beat them, last year was the most competitive they've been against Georgia to this point under Josh Heupel. Before that, it was not competitive.
Yeah. All right, Austin, this week all our coverage is brought to you, presenting sponsor MyBookie. So we're asking everybody for their MyBookie boldest take for the football season. Could be Tennessee, could be SEC, could be whatever you want. Do you have a bold take for us heading into the season?
There's going to be an SEC coach that doesn't make it to the second week of November.
Ooh, I like that.
Book it, man. I like it.
I think he's talking about Napier again.
You yeah, hey, I'm right there with him.
No. Don't know who I'm talking about.
All right, Austin, before you go, tell our audience where can they follow you, and, of course, check out all your stuff at VolQuest.
That's right. Check us out at VolQuest. Obviously, we just bought Shannon Terry and the great people at On3 just bought Rivals, so now those have kind of merged together, and so just
right
fantastic.
Back where we started.
Right back where we started, exactly. But great team coverage as we get you excited and ready for fall camp starting here in a couple of weeks. And talk recruiting. Tennessee's hot streak. I think it's kind of winding down just because there's less names on the board. You've got some names left out there like Savion Hyder and company. But just all the coverage you can want. Eric Kane's had you covered on baseball. Robin Graham had you on basketball. And then we'll get you ready for either recruiting or football the rest of the way.
And this is an important camp to cover or get coverage because of the quarterback competition.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, there's a lot of unknown on this football team. And so there's going to be some things they try to keep in-house and keep quiet, but there's always some chatter out there, you know, and we'll have it covered for you at VolQuest.
And if you ever need a fourth man in your scramble group, I'm just right down the street.
Right down the street. You didn't offer pals. Or Akita.
I'll bring it.
Or Akita.
All right, thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.